الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue our studies in كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد The book of التوحيد which is the right of Allah upon the slaves which is the right of Allah upon the slaves, upon the servants, the greatest right, the right to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone with no partners, with sincere faith and trust and reliance and love and hope and fear and obedience to Him, inwardly and outwardly. We begin this morning the chapter the author he mentioned, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, Babu Qawlillahi Ta'ala, the chapter with regards to the mention of the statement of Allah the Most High, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ He mentioned the verse of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the meaning of which is, and do they feel safe from the plot of Allah? And truly no one feels safe from the plot of Allah except for a people who are losers. And then he mentioned, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَقَوْلِهِ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُونَ And who despairs in the mercy of his Lord except for those who are misguided. Meaning no one despairs in the mercy of his Lord, except for those who are misguided. After this, the author, he mentioned, عَنِ ابْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سُئِلَ عَنِ الْكَبَائِرِ After this, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا that the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ he was asked about the major sins. قَالَ أَشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَأْسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ وَالْأَمْنُ مِنْ مَكْرِ اللَّهِ And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that they are to associate partners with Allah in worship, ashirku billah, and also al-ya'su min ruhillah, to despair and to give up hope in the mercy of Allah, wal-amnu min makrillah, and to feel safe from the makr, from the plot of Allah, meaning the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he mentioned another narration, and he says, وَعَنِ ابْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ الْإِشْرَاقُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْأَمْنُ مِنْ مَكْرِ اللَّهِ وَالْقُنُوطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَالْيَأْسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ رَوَاهُ عَبْدُ الرَّزَّاقِ After this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that he said, The greatest of the major sins, akbar al-kabair, the greatest of the major sins is to associate partners with Allah in worship, al-ishraku billah. And then he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, wal-amnu min makrillah, and to feel safe from the plot of Allah, meaning from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal-kunutu min rahmatillah, wal-ya'su min ruhillah, and to despair in the mercy of Allah and to give up hope and the mercy and the help and the relief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see in the previous chapters we have been studying the affairs of the heart and the actions of worship that proceed from the heart and from that love and also fear. And whenever these affairs are mentioned, along with that is hope. Al-mahabbatu wal-khawfu wal-raja, fear and hope and love, and likewise trust and reliance. These are the chapters that we have been studying previously. Now the author, he is clarifying a very important point with regards to that which has preceded, and that is the affair of al-khawfu wal-raja, al-khawfu wal-raja, the issue of fear and hope. We have seen some details with regards to these affairs, but the intent of the author now is to clarify that what is an obligation with regards to fear and hope is that they must come together and they must be coupled together. and one without the other is deficiency in faith and weakness in iman, and brings a great deficiency to the tawheed, and it negates the completion and the perfection of the tawheed. So therefore, what is an obligation is to have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, along with hope. To have fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and fear of His punishment, and fear that He will hold a person to account for their sins and their mistakes and their shortcomings and errors, coupled with hope in the mercy of Allah, that Allah will show him mercy and Allah will forgive him and pardon him. And this is the issue here. And whenever one would fall into one of these affairs and leave off the other, he has fallen into a major sin, and he has fallen into misguidance, and he has deficiency in his faith and weakness in his tawheed. So therefore, for this aspect, or because of this aspect, the author, he mentions this chapter now. And it's a very important chapter to understand with regards to at-tawheed and with regards to understanding al-iman. So the first verse which the author, he used as the title, rahimahullahu ta'ala, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. Do they feel safe from the plot of Allah? فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And no one feels safe truly from the plot of Allah, meaning from the punishment of Allah, and that Allah would take a person to account for his sins, and that Allah would take a person account for his sins and punish him. No one feels safe from this except for people who are losers. These verses come in Surah Al-A'raf in the context whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's mentioning the people of the towns that Allah had bestowed upon them blessings day in and day out, numerous blessings in the affairs of this dunya and the issues of prosperity, and they did not show thanks and they did not show gratitude for these blessings. Rather, some of them will consider it because of their own efforts, or this is something that they deserve, or this is something that they work for with their own hands, therefore they deserve to have the good that they have and the prosperity that they have because it came from their own efforts. And the likes like this, and they neglected the reality that the blessings are from Allah and the success is from Allah, and that this is a favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore they considered themselves to be powerful and strong, and they did not need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they neglected His right and did not show thanks. And therefore they considered themselves strong and they felt safe from the punishment of Allah. Or also, it's mentioned that they consider themselves any good and beloved to Allah, and they're the ones who are near to Allah. And for this reason, Allah had given them so much prosperity and given them so much wealth and opened up the dunya for them in this manner that they had become strong, physically strong and powerful and the likes, and mighty and wealthy and rich in prosperity. And this is because Allah loves them and because Allah has favored them and that they are near to Allah. So therefore Allah will not punish them for their sins. All of this is misguidance, and this has led them to feel safe from the punishment of Allah. But no one feels safe from the punishment of Allah except for a people who are misguided, and a people who are losers. And this is a great misunderstanding. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tries people in this life with the dunya and prosperity, and He tries others with poverty. And the fact that one has wealth or does not have wealth is not a sign. It's not a sign that Allah loves an individual, or that this is a test from the test of the dunya. The sign that Allah loves someone is that He will grant him understanding in the religion, and that He will give him success to obey Him upon His legislation and to be steadfast upon His straight path. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din," that whoever Allah wants good for, He'll give him understanding in the religion, any understanding of the legislation, of the proper creed and belief, and the halal and the haram, and that which is permissible and impermissible, and how to apply that. And likewise, give him the success to abide by that and to live by that. This is the one that Allah wants good for, whether he is wealthy or whether he is poor. As for wealth and prosperity or poverty and being in a state of being destitute, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a sign of His love for the people. So therefore, a believer, he should never feel safe from the plot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason of this, the people of knowledge, they say, "Atawassu'u fi al-raja'," that they have went too far. They have transgressed the limits with regards to al-raja', with regards to hoping in the mercy of Allah. And you will find them falling into sin and being steadfast upon sin and neglecting the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blatantly and falling short in performing His obligations and perpetrating the prohibitions without no shame and without no shyness outwardly and the likes like this. And then whenever he's reprimanded, he'll say, Allahu ghafuru rahim. Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. And this is, as the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, a true statement. Well, what this person has understood from that is falsehood. What this person has understood from that is falsehood. Because Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful for those who take a path to His mercy and for those who take a path to His forgiveness. As for those who blatantly oppose Him and disobey Him upon knowledge and the likes, then Allah, He is severe in punishment. Then Allah, He is severe in punishment. So therefore, a believer, he will not lean too far and rely upon the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal so much so that will cause him to leave off the obligations or to fall short in the obligations, or it will cause him to perpetrate the prohibitions. This is the issue that is blameworthy here. This is the issue that is blameworthy here. Those who have fallen in this affair from the first of the deviants of this ummah, and from the first of the deviants of this ummah, there were the Murji'ah, those who have fallen into this creed, the Murji'ah. They are the ones who have relied upon the verses that Allah has mentioned His mercy and His forgiveness, on the verses in the Quran that Allah has mentioned His mercy and His forgiveness. And these verses, they are called Ayat al-Wa'ad, Ayat al-Wa'ad, the verses of the promise, the verses of the promise of the mercy of Allah, the verses of the promise of forgiveness and the mercy of Allah. And there are a number of them in the book of Allah. And this is a promise from Allah that He will pardon and forgive His slaves, and those who come to Him with repentance, and those who come to Him with submission and humbleness and sincere faith, He will forgive them and pardon them. So there are a number of verses in the book of Allah that discuss the affair of Raja and the affair of Maghfirah and forgiveness and hope and the mercy of Allah, and that Allah's mercy is vast. And these verses, they're known as Ayat al-Wa'ad. Ayat al-Wa'ad, the verses of the promise. The verses of the promise of mercy and forgiveness. The issue here is that the Murji'ah and those who follow their way and those who are affected by that creed, that false creed, they have relied upon these verses and they have neglected another aspect and other verses that have come in the Quran. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned the threat of His anger and the threat of His punishment and a severe torment for those who disobey Him and disbelieve Him and humiliating punishment for those who oppose Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, on the other hand, there are a number of verses as well. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned the affair of khawf and He has mentioned the affair of fear, fearing Him, fearing His power and His strength and His retribution and His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these verses are known to the people of knowledge as Ayat al-Wa'id, Ayat al-Wa'id, the verses of the threat, the verses of the threat of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the Quran, from the affairs that Allah discusses in His book are the affairs of al-Khawf wal-Raja. And there are a number of verses with regards to al-Khawf, fearing Allah, and they're called Ayat al-Wa'id, the verses of the threat of the punishment and the anger of Allah. And there are also verses that discuss the issue of al-Raja and the hope and the mercy and the favor and the blessing of Allah and His forgiveness. And these are called Ayatul Wa'id, the verses of the promise. The Murji'ah, they have taken to the verses of the promise and relied upon the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and neglected the verses of the threat of His anger and His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on the other end, there are those who have relied upon those verses of the threat and of the anger and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal and neglected the verses of mercy and forgiveness for those who repent and for those who establish the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And those people, they are known as Al-Wa'idiyya. And there are two groups, Al-Wa'idiyya and any of those people who have relied upon Ayat al-Wa'id, the verses of the threat. And they are Al-Khawarij wal-Mu'tazila. And they are likewise from the very first of those deviant sects that had appeared in the early days of Al-Islam. Al-Khawarij وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ, they are the ones who have relied upon the verses of the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal, the threat of His punishment, and they have neglected. And they have neglected the verses with regards to the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness. And therefore they have declared the people who fall into major sins to be disbelievers. So they have given up hope and the mercy of Allah for these people. They have given up hope and they have despair and the mercy of Allah for the one who has committed a major sin, and they have declared him to be a disbeliever. And the one who dies in that manner, he will be in the fire for eternity, according to their creed. According to their creed. So they are called al-wa'idiyah, and they rely upon ayat al-wa'id without looking at the ayat al-wa'id. On the other end, al-murji'ah, and they have relied on the ayat al-wa'id and neglected ayat al-wa'id. Ayat al-Wa'id, and both of these ways, they are misguided. So the Murji'ah, they are the first of those who fall into the affair of feeling safe from the plot of Allah. And from their foul statements that they say, al-Murji'ah, la yaduru ma'a al-imani ma'asiyah. La yaduru ma'a al-imani ma'asiyah. That sins and disobedience does not harm a person so long as he has faith. And in his heart, that's what they say. The one who has iman, al-ma'asiyah, la taduruhu. كما أنه لا ينفع مع الكفر طاعة. Just as actions of obedience do not benefit along with disbelief, just like that. Any actions of disobedience, they do not benefit a person if he's upon disbelief. Likewise, actions of disobedience do not harm a person if he has faith. And this is what they have claimed. This is what they claimed, and this is falsehood. And this is falsehood. And the truth and the correct way is between these two extremes. And that's the path and the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that is that the sins, they harm a person. They harm a person's faith. And there's details with regards to that. There are sins that will remove the faith in entirety. There are sins that will remove the faith in entirety. No doubt about that. Like shirk and like actions of disbelief. And cursing the deen of Allah, and cursing Allah, and so on and so forth. There are sins that will take the iman and the tawheed away from its foundation entirely. And he wipe it out entirely. And then there are other sins that are lesser than that. And then these sins, they affect the faith, and he weakening the faith, making it weak, and deficient according to the severity of that sin. So there are major sins, and from the major sins there are those that are major, any greater. And then there are sins that are lesser than that and lesser than that. So all of these sins, they have effect. They have effect. Not all of them will wipe out the iman entirely, like the wa'idiyah they say, but some of them will, and other sins will not wipe them out, but they will affect them in a great manner, and others lesser and lesser in severity according to the danger of the sin. So this is the proper belief and the proper creed, that the sins, they have an effect on the faith. But at the same time, Allah Azza wa Jal, He forgives all sins. And Allah, He mentioned, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مَا رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O my slaves who have transgressed against their own souls, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Because truly Allah, He forgives all sins. And He, for those who repent to Him, He forgives all sins for those who seek repentance from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek rectification in their own soul, then Allah, He forgives all sins. But as for those people who oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blatantly and do not repent, and do not take a path to Allah azza wa jal, a path of mercy, seeking His mercy and pleasure and forgiveness, then Allah, He is severe in punishment. Allah, He mentioned, إِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. You must know that Allah, He is severe in punishment, and that Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. And Allah, He said, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ. Inform my slaves. This is an amazing verse. Subhanallah. نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي. And tell my slaves and inform them, أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, that me, I am the most forgiving and merciful. وَأَنَا عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْعَلِيمُ, and that my punishment is a painful punishment. It's a painful punishment. So therefore, the path of a believer and the path that leads to Allah is a path of hope and a path of hope and fear, and a gathering between the two. This is Tawheed. At Tawheed, The perfection of a tawheed and the completion of the faith is to gather between fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla and His threat and hoping for His mercy and His favor and His blessing. The one who gathers between these two, he has fulfilled the faith. He has perfected the tawheed in this manner. The one who leans too far on the khawf, he falls into the path of al-wa'idiyya, the path of the khawarij and the mu'tazila. And the one who leans too far on relying on the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will fall into the way of the murji'ah. And the correct path, and the sirat al-mustaqim, is in between that. So this is the affair that the author is clarifying, and this is the relationship to the issue of the book, Kitab al-Tawheed. So there are some details here with regards to this affair. And first is the issue of al-amnu min makrillah. Al-amnu min makrillah, to feel safe from the plot of Allah. To feel safe from the plot of Allah. The people of Allah, as they mention, al-makru al-iqa'u bil-khasmi bi-tariqati al-khafiyya. Yani linguistically, al-makr, yani we say here to feel safe from the plot of Allah, to feel safe from the makr of Allah. The word makr, the people of Allah, as they mention linguistically, this means to bring harm to the opponent, to harm him in a manner that is hidden, in a hidden manner. Yani with deception and trickery. And this is what it means to plot. This is what it means to plot and to plan against somebody. So somebody may interpret this word or translate this word to mean plotting and planning. And maybe in English you might think somebody is having a good plan, planning to do this, but the word makr doesn't have in its origin a good meaning. It has a meaning of bringing harm to somebody. Bringing harm to somebody, to somebody, in a manner that is hidden where they do not know, to plot against them and to plan against them, to harm them or to take their right or to oppress them in a manner that they are unaware of. So this is the issue of al-makr in the origin. But the reality of al-makr, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that from one aspect, it is madhmum, it is blameworthy. But there's another aspect where the makr is mamduh, when it's praiseworthy. The origin that when the word makr is being used with mankind is that it's blameworthy, and that they use plots to take others' rights and to oppress them, and they plot against them to take them to take their rights and to harm them whenever they're not perceiving. This is what the makr means, and this is blameworthy. And to plot against the people who are heedless or unaware and to bring harm to him, to see somebody heedless and to plot against him, and while he's not looking and while he's not paying attention, to bring some harm to him, yani in his reputation or in his body or in his wealth and the likes like this, or someone who is innocent or somebody who has good thoughts about the people, and to take advantage of him and to plot against him and to use his innocence against him and then harm him in his wealth or in his honor and his reputation, and to plot against him like this to take his right, this is foul and this is blameworthy. Likewise, to plot against the believers and to plan against the believers, or to plan and plot against the righteous and the pious, to harm them or to belittle them or to cause them to slip or fall into something that is blameworthy, and to trick them to do that and to plot against them for this, all of this type of makr here, this is called al-makru al-madhmum. Al-makru al-madhmum. This is blameworthy. And this is foul, to plot against the people, to harm them and to take their rights. So in reality, this type of makr here is dhulmun wa baghyun. Is dhulm, oppression, and baghyun, yani transgressing the limits, transgressing people's rights, yani but plotting in a deceptive, in a manner with trickery and deception. As for the makr that is praiseworthy, then this is to plot against those people who deserve it. This is to plot against those people who deserve it, yani in opposition to their plot. And this is what is being referred to whenever the makr is ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever the people of falsehood and the people of evil and the people of kufr and disbelief are plotting against the awliya of Allah, or plotting against the deen of Allah, and plotting against the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he plots against them. then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will plot against them in this manner. And this shows complete knowledge and wisdom and ability and power and strength and the likes. And this is praiseworthy here, because these people, they are plotting against the messengers of Allah, plotting against the deen of Allah, plotting against those who are beloved to Allah, plotting against those who are innocent, free of blame, plotting to harm them and to trick them and to deceive them and take their right, or to oppress them and the likes like this. And therefore Allah, He will plot against them. He will in return to refute them and to stop their oppression and to overpower them in this manner and the likes. This is what is referred to here. And Allah, He mentioned is وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ, and they plot and Allah is plotting. And they وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is plotting likewise. So they plotted against the messengers, all of them, the enemies of the messengers and the enemies of the Rusul. They plotted against them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plotted, and He planned, and the end and the outcome that is praiseworthy was for the obedient and the righteous. And this is from the complete wisdom and power and authority and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will bring that he will bring retribution and punishment to those who plot against His servants and slaves who are pious, who will plot against His servants and slaves who are pious. Likewise, from the plot of Allah Azza wa Jalla, when the word al-makr is ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jalla, referring to those people who have been given blessings and bounties from Allah, who have been given blessings and bounties of health and prosperity and wealth, and He has opened the dunya for them and provided for them, and He has showed them and taught them the ways of showing thanks and gratitude and appreciation, and they turned away. And they turned away and did not thank the blessings upon knowledge, and did not thank the blessings, and while they know that the blessings are from Allah, and while they know that the bounties are from Allah, they did not show thanks, nor did they appreciate this. Rather, they were ungrateful, and they used those bounties and blessings in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they showed preference to their desires and their whims, and they used the bounties and the blessings and the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal to disobey Him. And they continued upon that path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise, He plotted against them. And this plot here is called istidraj. Al-istidraj. And this is what is being referred to here, that if a person, he feels safe from the plot of Allah, then this will lead him. This will lead him to commit sins and fall short in the obedience and the obligations and to perpetrate prohibitions, and he'll feel safe, like he's all good. And he will rely upon the mercy of Allah, and he will feel safe from the punishment of Allah. And he will say to himself, well, if Allah was angry with me, why does He keep giving me all these bounties and blessings and the likes like this? And he can become deceived. And he can become deceived. So this issue here now is very important to pay attention to, because there are bounties and blessings. There are bounties and blessings. And all of mankind, they partake in them and they enjoy. And all of mankind, they partake in them and they enjoy. But for some people, the blessings are blessings. And others, the blessings are retribution. And the blessings are retribution for them. A ni'mah. The ni'mah, the blessings from Allah, if one shows thanks for them, then they are blessings truly from Allah, and favors and honor and aid and assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And honor and aid and assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who have bounties and blessings in the dunya, and they have wealth and prosperity, and they have health, while they're obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, this is ikram from Allah, and ta'eed and aun from Allah. This is aid and help and support and assistance and honor and a show of favor from Allah. That a person, he will have the deen and the dunya. He will have the deen and the dunya. And he will use the dunya to establish his deen. He will use the dunya that Allah gives him to establish the deen. This dunya here, and these favors here, and these blessings here, they are true blessings. So if a person is upon obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the blessings of the worldly life are coming to him, these blessings are true blessings. And these blessings are an honor from Allah for that person. And these blessings are a means of aid and support and help for that person, and assistance, so that he is able to continue to be obedient. On the other hand, if there is a person who is established upon disobedience, blatantly with no concern, and he continues to receive blessings and bounties from Allah Azza wa Jal, and the dunya is opened up for him, These are not truly blessings. This right here is called istidraj. This right here is called istidraj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُعْتِي الْعَبْدَ مَا يُحِبُّ عَلَى مَعَاصِي فَعْلَمْ أَنُّهُ اسْتِدْرَاجِ. That if you see Allah Azza wa Jal giving a person something that he loves from the dunya while he is established upon disobedience, then know that this is istidraj, meaning a plot from Allah, and he's planning against him to open up the dunya for him. He gave him the dunya, he did not show thanks. He reminded him, he did not show concern. He continued upon his way like this, Allah will leave him to that. And he'll open the doorways up for him even more and more until he takes him in that manner while he's upon disobedience and while he's upon ingratitude and while he's ungrateful. Waliyadu billah. So therefore, if a person wanted to determine the reality of the blessings and the bounties, are they truly blessings or is he in a state of istidraj? Are they truly blessings or is he in a state of istidraj? What would he have to do? If we wanted to look, are the blessings coming? A blessing from Allah and a favor from Allah and honor from Allah and help from Allah? Or are they a means destruction and belittlement? What do we have to do? We look at the person who receives the blessings. We look at the state of the person receiving the blessings. Is he upon obedience? Is he doing his... All of us are sinners. So we don't get misunderstood. All of us are sinners. All of us are sinners. But the best of the sinners are those who repent. And those who are striving against their souls, those who are making efforts to be obedient. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this. And كل بني آدم خطاء وخير خطائين التوابون. That all of the children of Adam, they are sinners. But the best of them are those who repent. So the point is here, the one who is striving his best to fulfill his obligations. The one who's making an effort that is apparent in his life. He's making an effort that is apparent in his life to be obedient and fulfill his duties to Allah. This person, if Allah opens up the dunya for him, this is aid and assistance and honor from Allah for him. This is aid and assistance and honor from Allah for him. But if, on the other hand, he is somebody who blatantly disobeys Allah, he blatantly disobeys Allah daily, it's from his life, and it's apparent in his life that he is somebody who is upon disobedience, then this person, if the gateways of the dunya are opened up for him, this is not honor and respect nor help from Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, this is a means of belittlement. And this is a means of degradation. And this is a means to lead this person to his destruction. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. But even at the same time, as we see in this chapter, one should never despair from the mercy of Allah. Even if he found himself in that state, he can rectify that. If he found himself in a state of obedience and he has dunya, he should praise Allah and thank him. And he should know that that's honor from Allah. And that's aid and help from Allah. Allah is helping him to be obedient. Allah is facilitating obedience for him so that he can take care of his obligations and fulfill them properly. So therefore, he should increase and strive even more to be obedient in his life and use his wealth in the best manner. And thank Allah. And if not, if he was on the other hand, then likewise, he will not despair. Rather, he will repent to Allah. He will recognize his mistakes and his faults, and he will strive against his soul to rectify himself. And he will take the means step by step until he has freed himself from those sins. Until he has freed himself from those sins, and he, by the permission of Allah, seeking Allah's aid and seeking Allah's help. So this issue here is very important. This issue here is very important to determine these affairs. To determine these affairs. Because Allah, he honors his believing slaves, and he lowers those who disobey him. And if Allah, he honors someone, then no one can humiliate him. And if Allah humiliates somebody, then no one can honor him. Then no one can honor him. The favor is for Allah, and the honor is for Allah, and the command is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, the issue goes back to a tawheed, to single him out with submission and surrender and love and sincere faith. And from the best of that, repentance. Repentance with a humble heart that is submissive and repentant. So this is the issue of al-amnu min makrillah. On the other hand, was the issue of al-qunut min rahmatillah wal-ya's min ruhillah. Al-qunut min rahmatillah wal-ya's min ruhillah. And this has come many two issues here. They have similar meanings in the wording of or in the narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. It's been mentioned that they have the same meaning basically. But we say al-qunutu min rahmatillah, this one is more general, to have despair from the mercy of Allah, meaning from the goodness and from the mercy of Allah includes having goodness in this life and the hereafter, and also being safe from harm and danger. But many times whenever the word that ruh Allah is being used, what is in reference to here is to be safe from harms and from dangers, and to have relief, and to have relief from hardship and difficulty. So one of them is with regards to yani al-qunutu min rahmatillah, to despair from the mercy of Allah, from His help and from His aid and from His forgiveness and from His blessing and from His bounty and from His protection, to give up hope in that and the forgiveness of Allah. Wal ya'su min ruhillah, to give up hope in the relief from Allah and the aid from Allah from difficulty and from hardship, from difficulty and from hardship. And some of the people of knowledge have mentioned other than that, but this inshallah is from the statements of the people of knowledge likewise. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned, they mean the same thing, and others mentioned that one of them is more severe than the other, yani in this manner. But the issue of despairing and the mercy of Allah, despairing in the mercy of Allah, there's some details. We have time before shuruq, we take them inshallah. There's two main aspects of despairing in the mercy of Allah, and giving up hope in the mercy of Allah. And the first one is with regards to the affairs of the hereafter. And the second one is with regards to the affairs of the dunya. The affairs of the hereafter, and a person could give up hope in the mercy of Allah with affairs, any related to the affairs of the hereafter. And also a person, he could give up hope and have despair in the mercy of Allah with regards to affairs of the dunya. We understand that? The first topic that we discuss is to give up hope and to despair in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to the affairs of the hereafter. Meaning to despair from the mercy of Allah, and to believe that Allah will never forgive a person, and to believe that that a person, his sins have reached a level that surpasses the mercy of Allah, and that Allah will never forgive him, and that there's no hope for him for mercy, and there's no hope for him for forgiveness, that his sins are too much, and that he is too evil, and that his soul is too wicked, and that he is too foul, and his heart is too black, and he will believe like this, and to give up hope in the mercy of Allah. This is a major sin. This is a major sin. Where many of the people of knowledge say this is worse than the sins that they committed themselves. This belief here is worse than the sins that were committed. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this issue here, and it also has two aspects. One aspect is with regards to the person himself, and the other aspect is with regards to somebody else. So somebody could give up despair in the forgiveness of Allah and the mercy of Allah, that Allah will never pardon him or forgive him, that he will never enter paradise, and he will give up hope in this manner, either for himself or for somebody else. Either for himself or for somebody else. And this also has two aspects. That a person, he'll believe that Allah will never accept his repentance, that he's gone too far beyond the limits, past that which Allah will forgive. And this is wrong, and this is itself is a major sin. Rather, Allah, He forgives all sins for those who repent. So to despair from the acceptance of repentance from Allah Azza wa Jal and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal for oneself, this is a major sin. Another aspect of that is not that he didn't despair that Allah will give him mercy. That's the first issue. And he despaired that Allah will, he gave up hope that Allah will never forgive him. He'll say this, for example. Allah will never forgive him. He will say this about himself. This is giving up hope in the mercy of Allah. Another aspect is that he will say to himself that he will never be able to leave sins. And he will despair in the mercy of Allah coming to him to leave the sins. And he will say, he will never, Allah would forgive me if I could leave the sins, but he will say to himself, he just can't leave the sins. And he will despair. And he will be like he's addicted to a particular type of crime or a particular type of sin. And the life's like this, and he feels in his soul that maybe he'll try and try and try and time after time, and he's not able to leave it immediately. So then he'll despair, and he will say that he will never be able to leave the sin. This is also giving up hope in the mercy of Allah. This is also the major sin that is deficiency in iman and a weakness in tawheed. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all sins for those who repent to Him. And also the ones who truly repent to Allah and make effort, Allah will replace that. Allah will rectify that. But a believer, he has to be patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will try his believers. And he will try them and test them in this life. And some people, they'll be tested with sins, but he has to strive against the soul day in and day out. And if he slips back into it, he will continue to repent until Allah Azza wa Jalla opens the way for him and replaces that love for that sin for the love of his obedience in his heart. And so this is something that also is included in this chapter, to give up hope that a person himself will not be able to stop committing sins. Should not despair, rather have hope in Allah and a strong faith in Allah that Allah will help. Seek Allah's help, seek Allah's aid. Strive to make effort, call on Him and ask Him to help to leave the sin and the likes like this. And do not despair, not in forgiveness from Allah and not in success from Allah to stop committing sins, to stop committing sins. We understand this aspect? Alhamdulillah. After this, there's the issue of despairing and the mercy of Allah for somebody else. For somebody else. To give up hope and the mercy of Allah for somebody else. Somebody, sometimes maybe he'll be given success to strive to be obedient, and he will begin to establish the obligations. And then he will see somebody who is tried by sins. And he will see somebody who is committing sins blatantly. And maybe he will see some disgusting sins coming from certain individuals and the likes. And then he will say to himself, Allah will never forgive so-and-so. Allah will never give so-and-so. Allah will never forgive so-and-so. Ayyadhan billah, this is a major sin to say this about Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we have seen that narration of that one righteous slave, Yani, who mentioned to his brother that Allah will never forgive you. And Allah, he says, إِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَأَحْبَلْتُ عَمَلَكَ. Verily, I have forgiven him, and I have invalidated your deeds. I have invalidated your deeds. So this is a major sin likewise. So a believer, he will not despair. How many people they were established upon disobedience? A lifetime of disobedience and misguidance, loving the haram, and some of them will swear to themselves out loud that he is going to continue to do such and such for the rest of his life. One of them, he will say that he will smoke this drug and that drug for the rest of his life, or he will do this and do that for the rest of his life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him, will guide him to Islam by his favor, by his bounty, and by his grace, and he will leave all of that and turn into the best of the slaves of Allah. And by Allah's favor, turn into the best of the slaves of Allah, by Allah's favor. So one will never give up hope, likewise in the mercy of Allah for others. For others, that's the point, for others. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he has a beautiful advice. He said, if you see deficiency and shortcomings in your family members, if you see the deficiency and shortcomings in your family members and in your neighbors and in your brothers, and the likes, they make istighfar for them. Make istighfar for them. Subhanallah. This is the heart of a scholar, the heart of one who knows Allah, the heart of the scholars and the ones who truly know Allah. They love good for the people. Don't, if you see shortcomings and deficiencies, any sins, shortcomings and obligations or deficiencies and falling into sins and the likes like this in your family, in your wife, in your child, and your neighbors and your brothers and your friends and your family and your fathers and the likes like this, those whom you love, then make dua for them. Ask Allah to forgive them. Ask Allah to forgive them. Make dua for them. Ask Allah to forgive them. Maybe Allah will accept from you and aid them and help them, and maybe they will become even more upright than you. Yeah, the affair is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. The affair is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. This issue, this advice here, I remember in Medina. Yani, Shayb Shayuthkar. First time I read it, I was in Medina. And I had some brothers, I knew them, they didn't come to the obligatory prayer in the masjid. And the masjid is very close to our rooms. So in my mind, I'm finding fault with that. But I read this narration, I started making dua for them. Wallahi, they come to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I remember this. Yani, this is a favor from Allah. Wallahi, they started coming to the masjid at Fajr, and all the time they're in the first row. Now I'm competing with them. Wallahi, I made dua for them. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept from us. Mm-hmm. But yani, so this is beautiful advice. Make dua for your brothers. Make dua for your brothers. Make dua for your wives. Make dua, sisters, for your husbands. Yani, if you see deficiency, make dua for them. Ask Allah to help them. Ask Allah to rectify their affair. Ask Allah to, yani, be sincere. Be sincere and supplicate and call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
طيب, after this, there was the second issue. That's the first issue. The second issue is with regards to despairing in the mercy of Allah for in the affairs of the dunya, in the affairs of the dunya, and this is to give up hope and relief, to give up hope. Yani al-ya's min ruhillah, from that aspect, to give up hope that the relief of Allah is not coming. A person who'll be in hardship, a person he'll be in difficulty, a person he'll be going through pains and suffering, yani maybe in his body or in his mind, with a sickness or an ailment, or maybe financially, or maybe he's struggling and he emotionally he needs a wife, or she needs a husband, and it's very difficult desires and trials, and nothing is coming for him, and he's trying to get married, and everything is falling apart, or he's taking medication and nothing is working, or he's making adhkar and so on and so forth, and then he'll give up hope, and he'll be like, the help of Allah is not gonna come. Allah, the help of Allah is not gonna come. The aid of Allah is not gonna come. Even I'm sitting and I see some of my brothers that I know, these situations, alhamdulillah, they didn't give up hope. They brothers that we know, even sitting with us today, they witnessed this, and we know the tawheed of Allah. Alhamdulillah, they're going through hardship, going through difficulty, going through a car wreck, yani a hard time, or another type of affairs that have happened, and then they'll ask for advice, and just take the means, brother, and fear Allah, and make dua, and strive, and make the adhkar in the morning, and the evening, and after the prayer, and be obedient, repent to Allah, give charity, and now their affair is good, and the aid of Allah has come, and the relief of Allah has come, and Allah is loved, and Allah he is thanked, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. So then a believer, he never gives up hope in the relief. And Allah he will put people in hardship sometimes to lower them and to humble them in order to raise them. To lower them and to humble them in order to raise them. Because the one who humbles himself before Allah, Allah, he raises them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just read briefly the Masail. Fihi Masail. In this chapter, there are issues. The first one, Tafsir Ayat al-A'raf. The first one, the Tafsir of the first verse in Surah al-A'raf. The thaniya, Tafsir Ayat al-Hijr. And the second issue was the Tafsir of the verse in Surah al-Hijr. This has all preceded, alhamdulillah. Al-Thalitha, Shiddatul Wa'idi fi man amila makrullah. The third benefit is that the severe threat for those who feel safe from the punishment of Allah. Al-Rabi'a shiddatul wa'idi fil qunut. And the fourth benefit is the severe threat and those who despair from the mercy of Allah. So those who have felt safe from the plot of Allah, they're losers. They have lost a portion of their faith accordingly. A portion of their faith accordingly, and in that they're losing their status and rank in the hereafter. And those who have despaired in the mercy of Allah, then they are misguided. And that means, on the other hand, those who do not feel safe from the plot of Allah, whether they fear Him, they are the successful and they are the guided. Likewise, those who fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are upon guidance. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.